Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your Good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hey there, listener. Do you have something to say? Then you're already a podcaster. You just don't know it yet. Whether you love to shoot the breeze with friends, have an urge to share your passion with the world, or even want to grow your business, you've got something worth saying with a podcast. With Acast, it couldn't be easier to start your own show. Launch, grow, and make money from your podcast across all listening platforms. If you have something to say, you're a podcaster. Head over to acast.com to get started for free.
Got a thatch. Bitch, it's just petting. No, for real. I'm serious. This is Jess. Just petting. You don't know who I am? Get the fuck out. Got a bad. Got a bad. Drag is the new.
What's going on, everybody? Patrick Bear here, and we are back again. It is another week, and that means it is another recap episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 7. I am taking this pit stop-like recap series and running with it and having a damn good time while doing it. So I have been joined by a new guest every episode review so far, and today is no different. I am excited because we are getting to hear new voices on the podcast, get new opinions, some that I just think are blatantly wrong, but we love them anyway. And I'm sure that a lot of people out there listening feel that my opinions are blatantly wrong as well. But I am excited because I am being joined by one of my Chicago peeps. And we're still doing this remote. That's the best part about this. The show has gone remote because... you know, we used to all be in the same city and we would all get together, and now I'm recording with somebody in the same city but still remote. But that's the wonder of this world right now. Dear listeners, I would like to introduce you to one of my newest friends here in the Windy City, sometimes trivia buddy, sometimes just a drinking companion out in the wild. Let's have a big round of applause for James. James, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, everybody. How are you doing? I am wonderfully hungover from the Pride festivities, as we all should be here in Chicago. You know, if you ever have those, like, moments where you wake up and not just, like, you wake up and the first word that comes to your mouth is fuck. Like, the word that came to my mouth this morning was, I just don't want to fucking do it. It was just like that one scene from SpongeBob where he's in Sandy's tree dome and he was like, water. Like, that was me this morning, but like a lot more elevated and skincare. So.
which is important.
I didn't look wrinkly, but I was definitely dehydrated.
I hear that. I woke up at 4 something in the morning. Mind you, we got home at like 2 something and then I had to take the dogs out. So it was probably only like an hour and a half of sleep, and I woke up and I had the biggest headache, and I stumbled to the bathroom and shoveled a handful of ibuprofen in my mouth and a big old scoop of water and said, oh, please let this work. Yep. And for the most part, it did, but I still did not get out of bed until like 10 o'clock. It was a good thing we had taken the dogs out at 2, because Havoc would have just, Yeah, thankfully he let me sleep. I have a very good dog in that respect.
Yeah, no, we got home. It was probably like maybe like 12:45. And then we decided to get in bed, and then we had McDonald's, and then I took a multivitamin and then chugged Pedialyte for the second time this weekend. And I woke up, and I was okay, but I was still just, like, headache, dehydrated, just, you know, every Pride, I feel like I consecutively put myself in, like, the worst situation, but, like, they get better every year. So this year's idea was hard seltzer with vodka and pineapple juice, but, like, three of those in a row while we're at the parade. However, it was, like, four shots of vodka in this cup, and we're just watching there screaming. The cell block guys go past, and we see our friends, and then we go back inside, and we were done. So that was my extent of the parade this year.
I actually watched – this is my first time being in Chicago for, like, an official Pride parade. I moved up here literally – it should have been April 1st.
Yeah.
That was when my lease started, but I got up here March 31st, and but 2020. So it was 2 weeks after the city had shut down. So we have not had an official Pride parade, even though there was supposed to be like a Pride parade last October, but they ended up canceling that last minute as well. So this was my first one, and I am fortunate that you don't live that far from me. You're down the road, like, what, 5 or 6 blocks. But about 3 blocks the other way is the starting point of the parade.
Oh, yeah.
So all we had to do was walk down to the start point, and we just watched it from there. And I was actually impressed. We were out there for an hour and 45 minutes. I have a whole bag of random shit that I do not need from corporations that I probably will never buy product from, or except for Sweet Tarts. There was a Sweet Tart float.
There was, and they were throwing them.
Yeah, they have this. I did not know about this, but they have these Sweet Tart, like gummy remixes, I think is what it's called.
Do they?
And it's like two shells, almost like Gobstopper like, of Sweet Tarts, and then like a chewy gummy in the middle.
Ooh.
It was like crack, and they gave me the first taste for free, and I'm gonna have to go buy a bag because.
Yeah, see, my problem with candy is like. You go out there and you see that there's like always your classic candies. You've got your Sweet Tarts, you've got your Smarties, you've got your Hershey's, you got all of those. But then suddenly some marketing team goes and like, what if we did this absolutely batshit idea that's going to like tell these Gen X and Gen Z people, this is the candy you want. But anyone over the age of 28 is going to sit there and go, I am calling my dentist. I'm still going to eat that candy because why? I want to know what the cherry limeade nerds taste like. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
But I will say that, you know, nerds are just those kind of candy that allow you to understand what it's like if you want to eat aquarium gravel, but that's okay.
And enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
And enjoy it.
I think
the funniest thing, though.
Oh, continue.
I was going to say, on the parade candy tip, I want to know who thought it was a smart idea to have any chocolate, because one of the floats was throwing out York peppermint patties. In an 80-degree day in Chicago. Yeah. And literally they threw it, and by the time it reached us, it bounced off somebody, hit the ground, and I picked it up, and it was 95% melted.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this is disgusting.
I mean, what a lot of people don't know is that York peppermint patties are 95% just, like, hydrogenated peppermint oil. Like, it's like, oil and sugar spun with peppermint oil in it. And then they cover it in chocolate and they're like candy. And like half the time, I'm pretty sure if you were really desperate, you could use it as lube. Like, it's disgusting.
Yeah, but I got enough of those packets, though, from the parade as well. So I don't have to worry.
Yeah, I think my favorite part of the parade this year was seeing the college that I went to. Had a float, but it wasn't really a float. It was just the one of the basketball buses driving by with my college's name on it. And I was like, yes, DePaul, give us nothing.
Oh, the DePaul Demons.
Yeah.
I saw they had stickers. I think I got one of those stickers.
And I was like sitting there and I was like, okay, so you can do this. You can do the bare minimum. But you have the largest amount of LGBTQA students in a Catholic college in the entire world.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite was seeing the giant group of churches where like the parade organizers were like, oh, you're with the church, just stand in this area. There was no like line of, it was just a mass of people with random like sign holders for the different churches, like all jumbled into one mass.
It was just like a conglomerate clusterfuck of Christianity and like whatever other denominations of, you know, denial. But we're not going to go there today.
Not today. Not on this good day. So we are here to discuss RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars Season 7, the legendary season full of winners. So before we dive into episode number 7, I can't believe we are like past the halfway point at this point. It just feels like it honestly doesn't feel real, and it feels
flying by.
Yeah, which is great.
But like, I mean, good for me and good for you, because last season was like pulling teeth.
Well, because it was like 7,000 years long and nobody went home for a good 4.5 of those years.
And then suddenly it was like, why is Bosco still here?
It's not chocolate. So before we dive into this episode, because I've had a new co-host for each of these episodes, I always like to start by asking, what do you think of the season so far? What are your thoughts, highlights so far in the first 6 episodes? What are your thoughts?
So 3 of my favorite queens are on this season. And like, I kind of grew up watching RuPaul's Drag Race because I'm younger, you know, to the generation that went through Drag Queens and Drag Race. I'm not on the tail end, but like, I think the first season that I saw on TV was definitely season 3, and that's why I'm in love with Raja. Mm. You know, I always am just like, you know, she's not doing okay this season, but you know, what I like is that she's still consistently Raja, and she's still turning out a look. And I think I saw this one tweet that like Trixie Mattel put out, and she was like, I can't wait for all the 13-year-olds this year to see Raja again, like Raja for the first time, and gag. And that's exactly how I feel, because every time she walks down that runway, regardless if it's the worst thing she's ever done, there's a concept and it looks gorgeous. You know, and it's great.
Absolutely.
But, you know, then there's Jinx Monsoon, who I honestly think there's some people you don't go up against. There are some people you truly can't go up against. And her snatch game is, it's every time you do a snatch game, if you even just mention her name, it's like you probably, you will get some like kind of blessing put onto you. And then you go and do like one of the hardest characters you could probably ever do on snatch game, and that's Judy Garland. And she pulls it off so executedly well. And then for third, I love Evie Oddly. I've loved Evie Oddly ever since I saw her season, because she is just insane. Everything she does is just like so weird and so fun, and I really think she's able to kind of like bring her own persona. But what I really like about this season is that it is truly RuPaul's best friend race, because everybody is there and they're helping each other, they're talking to each other, but it feels like it's more of like a collective of like drag minds together, and they're competing against each other, but they're truly, it's more of like a conversation amongst them all rather than a competition amongst them all. There's no big drama. There's no, you know, reeling for drama. There's no bad edit, except, you know, the Vivian is there, but that's okay. But yeah, no, I'm thoroughly enjoying the season. I'm excited for the acting challenge next week, because I just think Jinx is going to walk in and she's going to be like, hi everybody, I'm so sorry, but this is mine already. This is mine.
Yeah.
But
I hear that, and you know, I enjoyed Raja. I didn't start watching until my first live season was season 5.
Yeah.
My first like exposure to it live in person was season 4 at our white party. And I remember like Sharon Needles, who we don't talk about, like
we don't talk
taking
about
money and then like ripping it in half and like all of this, and then her rider having like her being picked up in a hearse and all this like random bullshit that you know, shouldn't be a thing but was. So going back after season five, I watched all of, like, I binged everything before that when I moved into the house I lived in Orlando for years, the palatial Rosevere Estate, as some of our longtime listeners will know it has been referred to as. That was our home base for many a year. But I went back and I watched all that, and I didn't, I thought Raja was phenomenal as a queen. I hated the whole Heathers versus Boogers thing. I always thought it was really unnecessary. And I mean, I love certain ones of the Heathers individually, but Raja's supremely talented, and it's great to see her back on the show. Jinx is a sweetheart, and I've known her since season five. We worked together at the club that I worked at and became friends through that. She's actually one of our way back first guests when we did our Drag is the New Spandex series. And, you know, like, season six is still the epitome of Drag Race for me.
Of course.
Like, that's still, like, it peaked there. And then it's just either, it's either gone down a little bit or plateaued. Like, it's never reached that same zenith for me, in my opinion. For me. But yeah, like, you mentioned Evie. Evie was one of the last big shows that we did at the club before I moved, before, you know, all of this craziness happened. We rang in 2020 with Evie and Brooklyn Heights. And
that's,
Evie was
amazing.
Yeah, Evie was phenomenal. Brooklyn's amazing as always. And just a fucking sweetheart, Evie is. So
it's really good to hear that, you know, all of these queens, like, genuinely are the nicest people.
Yeah, except for one on this cast. But anyway.
We don't talk about her.
I don't know if we're talking about the same person, but it's fine.
I know who we can talk.
Oh, I mean, I've not been shy about my dislike for TTT.
Oh, I don't like, that's who I'm talking about.
Oh, okay, cool.
I don't like her.
Yeah.
We'll get into it later when we talk about her dress, but, like.
Perfect. Thanks. So we come off of the last challenge, the Total Request Live, where the queens were tasked with creating two girl groups and then writing and recording and choreographing their own numbers to Titanic and Together Forever, and performing on a throwback edition of MTV's TRL, where poor Ross Matthews had to get into male drag for the first time in his life as Carson Gailey. And it's still giving me nightmares.
The only thing I will say is they did do a wonder at making his hair look like a natural brown.
Yes, except for, I don't know what it was. Like, the rest of his hair looked normal, but the sideburns and the soul patch scared the living shit out of me. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was.
Because when I look at him, I think of, like, what is the eternal twink? Ross Matthews, to me, is, like, one of the, like, forever twinks. Like, they're always going to look the same. They're always going to have that, like, smile. They're always going to have that personality. It's just, like, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. I don't want to think about it anymore because it scares me so much.
I think Valentina put it down the best way in her the Lady Bunny roast. She's like, "You're just so cute, like a little hamster. I want to shove you up my butt." I think that's the only way you can describe him.
Oh God, he was an absolute sweetheart when I worked with him.
Yeah,
as well. Like, he was really nice. So the top two from last week were Evie and the Viv, with the Viv taking the win and getting the right to block one of her sisters. And she chose, without knowing what the challenge would be, Ms. Jinx Monsoon, which leads us into the workroom and the cattiness of the girls. And this is so sad because this is the quote-unquote drama for the season. And it is so mild that it's like, what's going on? They're kind of annoyed with each other.
It's like they walk into the room and someone gets blocked and they go, "Oh, you bitch, I love you." Like, that's the equivalent of what's happening.
Pretty much. I'm waiting for one of them to just hit the other person with the platinum / gold pleasure. Oh, yeah. And just be like, "Why did you do this?" Okay. But Viv, it says that she's annoyed because she could have had her second star, but she didn't get it because she was blocked by Jinx. To which Jinx reminds her, "Yeah, bitch, that happened to me too. I could have had 3 stars by now, but I was blocked." And Trinity had the same thing happen to her, and she was blocked and should have won her first one, but did not. So yeah. Viv can sit there and be upset as much as she wants, but she's not the only one that's been in this situation. And this is how the game was designed. If you play your cards right and you block the right person, and production wants to have some drama, they're going to make sure that that person is in the top the next week. Yeah. But this time around, we go into the new day. Rue comes in and tells the girls that it's time for another design challenge. Because what is a season with not just one design challenge, but 2 design challenges? I mean, at least it's not season 3 where there was like 14 of them.
Yeah. Because... oh, God.
And Yara Sophia just breaking down at the end of it all.
Like, literally having panic attacks when she hears, "It's another design challenge," and you can, like, see the entire, like, Kill Bill soundtrack go over her head. Like, wah,
wah. The but, sirens like, going off.
Full on sure. Carnage.
Mm-hmm. So, the maxi challenge, there's no mini challenge this time around. The maxi challenge... there's no more money to give away in the minis, unlike the ball challenge. They are tasked with going to RuPaul's Pinterest board and selecting legend looks of RuPaul's. And then they are going to reimagine these designs in their own special, unique way. So... I am going to go through these in alphabetical order.
All right.
And by alphabetical order, I mean by the queens and who got what. So we'll talk about how this comes to be in a moment, but let's go through the looks and who got what. Jada ends up with the tribute to Diana Ross from the 2000 Divas Live concert. Jinx gets the Down Under Season 1 promo. Dear God, why do we even have to reference that? Monet Exchange gets the Season 10 Face Keeny look. Raja gets the season 7 promo.
Yes.
Shea Kulea gets the Season 5 Sugar Ball look. The Vivian gets the Season 7 Despy Awards look. Trinity the Tuck gets the Season 8 promo. And Evie Oddly gets the Supermodel of the World look. So let's start with, what do you think of these looks as they are? The RuPaul looks.
They are hard. And I know that, I know like there are some really iconic RuPaul moments that are out there that need to be like put up for interpretation for these queens. Because if you really think about what drag is as an art form, it's always inspiration on top of inspiration, iteration on top of iteration on some queen's own take of something either that's political happening in the world, but also at the same time, fashion is a big part of it too. RuPaul is the drag queen and they have the best looks. That sugar ball look, great. The one that Shea Coulee had to do, the leopard print dress, which Rue was like, "This is my favorite dress I've ever had." I was wondering.
Yeah, that was how the sugar ball one. Yep.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I will say this: leopard print is hard. Because there are two things about leopard print. It tells the person who is seeing the dress 2 things. 1, someone actually bought that fabric. 2, the person who is wearing it might be psychotic.
I mean, that's you have heard Alaska's song, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. So like, it's all accurate.
I don't need any more proof.
Like, exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, I think that a lot of these were going to be a challenge, but I think what I liked the most is that it was intended to be that way. Hmm. Like, it wasn't just like a, you know, walk into the workroom, Queens, this week's challenge is insert this design challenge here. No, it was take one challenge that already happened and then bring your own swing onto it. So it was like, to me, at least a challenge on top of a challenge, which some queens did really, really, really well. And some of them I was like, do you even know how to sew?
And the answer to that is no.
No.
For some of them.
Yeah.
We've seen Jinx go through this. We know the answer to that. So now that we've talked about the looks, let's talk about how these queens ended up with these looks. So being the winner of the challenge and the top all-star from the week prior, the Vivian gets to choose hers first. And from there, they essentially popcorn it down the line. Do you think there was strategy involved in what order the queens were sending it down the line? Do you think they were trying to not let some of the people get a pick early on?
I mean, I really think at this point in the game, and also with this challenge specifically, it wouldn't have mattered which queen got which look, because they were truly looking for their interpretation on that look. And, you know, it's kind of, you're given like a little bit of a blank canvas to do what you have with that interpretation of it. So any queen, like where they're like, you know, like I really like this one, I don't think they would have been judged on, you know, necessarily how much of like a look that they were able to like connect with and give an interpretation of. I think it was solely, please put your spin on what material is in front of you. Like, it can connect to the original concept, or it could be your total idea of it. And that was very evident in a lot of these queens, you know, final results. You know, some of them were like 100%, this is something that I understand that they were trying to do, like a almost one for one with a little tweaks, you know, to the original garment. And some of the queens did completely different things. Like,
yeah.
It was truly like, you know, whatever strategy that, you know, the Vivian was thinking about doing to kind of give an idea as to what she wanted to do to kind of sabotage people. Great. But we all knew whenever she did, there are three people sitting in this group that it didn't matter which look you gave them. They don't know how to sew. Like, you can only do so much hot glue until the bodice on your dress snaps and you're holding it like Valentina behind you while you walk down the runway.
I mean, true. But with that being said, do you think any of the looks, of the RuPaul looks, were an easier starting point, especially if you aren't a seamstress?
So which ones?
Go ahead.
The ones that I think were definitely ones that were easier to like kind of do their interpretation was the one that Shay got and the one that Evie got. Like anything that's more of like a traditional, like, you know, something that I could go off a rack and get a couple of things and put on it and it could be like my interpretation of it, great. But something like Jada would have to, you know, like some of the which one does that again? The mask or the Diana Ross one.
Yeah, Jada was the Diana Ross look.
Yeah, the Diana Ross look. You have to have, like, skill to kind of sew dresses that are very cut up like that. You know, it's more so, like, understanding how to cut a bodice, how to, you know, how to, like, double a hemline or to slip stitch back so the seam doesn't show on certain things. And she did it. I didn't actually hate that look, but, like, it definitely was a lot harder than something than what Shay had to do, which was work with a print.
Well, yeah, and the fact that this was a fabric that came, that was sequined, giant sequins. Yeah. So when you're having to sew that together, that's not something that's going to be super easy. And I think it was Evie that mentioned it, or that brought it up in the workroom, I don't know if it was in the walk around with Rue or just in conversation, but when it was brought up, like, I would be doing this before putting it through the sewing machine, because correct, I wouldn't want to have that issue with the giant sequins.
I mean, if you sew over the attachment to a sequin, you are basically destroying how it's going to dangle on the outfit, and you can tell when someone sewed over it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I did find it a bit difficult, and I kind of get why. But the fact that they had a pink leopard print outfit and then provided just plain pink fabric.
Oh yeah.
They were saying, whatever happens, you are going to be tasked with having to do something on this fabric, because you can reinterpret something, but even if you don't have an homage to that print, it's not going to carry the same.
Correct. And like, on top of that, you have to know how to paint a leopard print, and you have to make it look organic, because if you're just doing like what some other queens have done before to make leopard print, which is just do smiley face filled in with like a different color or like squiggles, and you're like, that's squiggles, that's not leopard print. Like, there is an organic shape to what leopard print looks like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But I think these queens pulled out good looks. That's what I will say.
Yeah, overall, I think I think they tackled the challenge in their way and made the most of what they had. I don't know. This challenge was so weird to me, because I get that we're doing something that's focused more on a RuPaul look, but with the design challenge, when there's only one design, and I know that the girls are making them on site, like, that's huge, but it almost feels like when you have a ball challenge already,
yeah,
to then go into a challenge with one look, where's the, like, it kind of feels like a deflated version of the ball.
Yeah, it did. But I will also say, it did feel like, I do feel like they're starting to run out of ideas of what to do for challenges. You know what I mean?
Yes. I was going to say the same thing. Like, there are other things that they've done on other seasons where you could have said, hey, let's do this. Like, and I mean, we get another acting challenge. Obviously, that was going to happen. But yeah, like, it just feels like there was almost like they planned out 10 challenges and then said, oh shit, we have 11 weeks of challenges we need. Oh, let's just throw a design.
Let's just throw it this way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's always fun to see the dynamic. It's always fun to see this cast, especially them all be in the room together, and them, even if they're stressed out and they're doing their looks. And yes, it does show the camaraderie, does show the sisterhood in there. Even if I don't like a specific queen, they're, you know, being there and going above and beyond in a competition like this, because one, they know nobody's going home, and yeah, two, if they're that comfortable in their own creations, you can help somebody out that is struggling. Exactly. Because they're not going to win. They're not going to beat you. So it definitely shows that softer side to everybody, where a normal season of Drag Race, you'll see that a bit, but it's almost a detriment.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, think back to season 10 when Asia helped everybody else and then didn't give herself enough time. And I mean, that's on her as well. Like,
it is on her.
You put the face mask on you. You put the life jacket on you before you help somebody else.
Correct.
You know, you always got to take care of you first, and then with whatever time, go for broke and help out people. But
hey there, listener. Do you have something to say? Then you're already a podcaster. You just don't know it yet. Whether you love to shoot the breeze with friends, have an urge to share your passion with the world, or even want to grow your business, you've got something worth saying with a podcast. With Acast, it couldn't be easier to start your own show. Launch, grow, and make money from your podcast across all listening platforms. If you have something to say, you're a podcaster. Head over to acast.com to get started for free.
you don't normally see that on a regular season of Drag Race. So to see it in this, with a cast of queens that is this likable, that is this talented, it's great. It's great to see. Yeah.
This is so, 100% like I know all the girls said, like, this is the Olympics of drag. I'm like, I actually think that this is.
Yeah.
Like, when you're really looking at it, because, you know, the Olympics of drag would be like, you know, all these queens wouldn't know each other. Like, you think of the Olympics, all the athletes know each other. All the athletes mm-hmm. are there to not, they're not there to, you know, put someone down or bring someone up. You know, the Olympics is always about, you know, companionship and team sports first. You're like, you represent something more than just yourself. And that's what I feel like they're doing right now. So I think that, like, whoever comes out on top this season is going to be, A, probably very deserving of it, but it's also probably going to surprise us all with this format.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why when way back when we did our like big recap of season 14, and I've said this a bunch of times, one of the things that I said was I was mad because I felt lied to in the season where at the beginning, episode 3, because we had the double opening and then finally everybody together. And RuPaul flat out said, I am not saving anybody. Your fate is in the hands of the drag gods. Here's a chocolate bar. And then proceeded to not eliminate people or save people or all of this. Like, all of the above. Not sending anybody home for weeks at a time. And I felt lied to. With this season of Drag Race, they came into it and said, nobody's going home. Yeah. We are going to compete. You're going to earn stars. And then in the final episode, the top four that have the most stars will compete for the crown in a lip sync smackdown.
Yep.
I walked into this knowing no one's going home. And I love that about this season. Would I like to maybe see a little bit of a critique here and there? Maybe. Just a little.
I want to hear more than I love this look. This is sickening on you. Do you know what I love about this look is that I love it. And that's all I'm getting this season. It's like literally my boyfriend has this running joke that he wants to do like a coffee like video where he wants to like how, you know, girls on TikTok, they go, so I'm going to make you my morning coffee. First off, I'm using this glass because it's made of glass and it looks nice. And then I'm using this coffee because the only thing I have to do to make it is press this button. Like, it's like giving us everything while giving us absolutely nothing at the same time.
Yeah.
And I fucking love it.
Yeah. I really don't have, even my critiques of this season are kind of like the critiques on the show. They're all good. You know, I don't want this season to end because I'm enjoying it, because I'm enjoying the queens. I liked Jada on her season, but didn't like she was just another queen on the show. Like, I was a little bit more of a Gigi Good fan. This season, I love Jada. She is so, she's just like pure, like, joy and goodness in this season. And I mean, that's what I love about this.
I just like that we're getting to see, like you said, again, the softer sides of the queens. But, like, really going back to your thing on Jada, you know, I agree, in her season, she wasn't, like, this might sound like slander to some people. I do not think Jada should have won her season. I'm sorry. Crystal Method was robbed. She had a very bad edit. And, like, when you look at what Crystal's doing now, it's, you sit there and you go, yes, she is wearing, like, a Winnie the Pooh costume with giant tits that says honey on it and running around Roscoe's and spinning. Who else is doing that? Who else is doing that? She also did, like, an outfit that was a giant pinata and then came out and did her song, which was I'm Like a Bird with birds, and then vomited. Like, there was there was nothing other than concept to everything she did, along with everything that Gigi was doing, because both of them, every single look they had a concept. Jada literally just walked around her living room.
Very tiny living room. I don't discredit Jada in the performance throughout the season. She was consistent. Was it tops for me? No. I think Gigi should have won, in my opinion.
Oh yeah.
But she's, you know, I'm glad to see this side of Jada, because she was a bit more reserved in season 12. So she didn't bring the same energy to it, which she probably did, but we didn't see it because it was edited like a normal season where you've got to have, you know, not a villain edit, because it really wasn't. I mean, we just had that like walking blur that technically ended up getting the villain edit of the season, but it was very interesting. So to see them, and especially the ones that are got their crowns during the pandemic ish. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Monet and Trinity were closer to it, and we still hadn't really answered it. They had about a year. Same with Evie, but it was still, they didn't have a lot of time with their crowns. And then Shay with All-Stars 5 and Jada with season 12. You know, they didn't have as much time or attention in their reigns as some of these other queens that have been around forever, like Jinx and Raja. But either which way, let's head to the main stage. Before we talk about the queens, what did you think of RuPaul's look?
Do you ever look at RuPaul and go, what are you wearing? Are sometimes they get up there and go, I don't know who put this on you. Do you even decide what you put on your body anymore? This dress was phenomenal.
Okay.
I love this dress. This is the one instance that I saw RuPaul on this stage in a very long time. And I was like, you know what? I don't hate this dress. There was a concept to it. It fit her body. You know, it's not like the other dress from earlier this season, which was literally just like a little bit more elevated than something that Matty Morphosis got sent home wearing.
Like, the second time she's done a dress like that.
Yeah. And I'm like sitting here, this one was great. It was the pink one. It had like the slats on it that like kind of formed her body. There was embellishment in the center. I absolutely loved it, and it looked great on her. And that is something that you can even ask my friends when we talk and watch Drag Race. I am very critical of what RuPaul puts on her body, because, you know, the moment she's done wearing it, I guarantee you she rolls it up and puts herself in sweatpants and calls it a night.
I was going to say that was a swerve, because I was about to be offended I love this outfit.
It's such a great outfit.
The new delusion panels in the center could have been a little bit darker if we were going for new delusion. But
I mean, that's also, my only... I wonder if Raven didn't powder because it was a very, very fine meshed dress. I wonder like if the new delusion was supposed to be new delusion, but Raven decided to go, I don't think I'm going to put powder there, because if I do, it's going to ruin the garment.
I mean, yes, but I still think that the panels could have been a little bit, like, there's no point in time where, like, Rue would ever be that light. Even if you powder in that area, you're still not going to... If it was a little bit darker, and that's been a problem. I don't know if they've changed the lights and they've turned them up even more, but new delusions on this runway have not been working. A bunch of the titty bibs from the Night of a Thousand Dollies all looked weird. Really weird.
Like, oh my god. But like, also, can we talk about the chain? Like the thing that pulls the outfit together is the chain that just goes down and like engulfs through her leg.
It brings the strap over her shoulder too. Yes.
And then on top of that, the shoes and the hair looked gorgeous. Everything was like a well-rounded concept that I absolutely loved looking at.
Yeah. Oh, it's stunning. And the hair, the makeup, I mean, she's only like a shade darker than Raven. Anyway,
And then there's Michelle.
and then Michelle Visage. So we head to the runway. I usually don't break down each individual look. We kind of just do a highs and lows. What were some of, let's start with the lows. Which of the eight queens maybe didn't hit the mark as well as they could?
So give me a couple of seconds because I have all the pictures saved to my phone.
Okay, cool.
So I always like to think that I give queens a little bit more of like a good feeling in how I, you know, look at them. But I did not like the Vivian's outfit. I am so sorry.
It just felt like she wore the same dress and hiked it up in the front.
What I was saying earlier is, you know, I really like the queens who brought something that was completely different than what we were looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This was like if she went to Moulin Rouge for the Can-Can show, took that dress off RuPaul, went there, and then ripped it over her head after getting fucked. That's what happened.
Yeah.
You know, that was that outfit. Jada's outfit, I'm sorry, that woman with the sequins, that is... I understand what she got and what she had to work with, but if you're going to do an outfit that is a very low-cut V, one of two things is I need you to make sure that your hemlines are straight. I need you to make sure that the cut in the center is equal and even, and that you have room for the padding that you have in your dress. Absolutely none of that happened. This is probably one of the worst things I've seen her wear, and I love Jada. And then even worse is the wig. I don't like the wig. It's very much so, like, to me, it is very pageant, but it looks like she went to the pageant store and got like a shake and roll wig and put it over one of those things that you can get at Hobby Lobby that holds wigs, and then she left that on top of her head. But it's okay. You know, not everyone has good days. And then, Jinx. You know, not everyone wins everything. Not everyone is good at everything. But this outfit, honey, you need to... When she was in the workroom trying to, like, put the corset she sewed over her, mm-hmm. and she was like, I don't know how much weight I can lose in 12 hours. I was like, honey, I don't know how much sewing you can learn in 3.
You mean, yeah.
But it was conceptually good. But all of that, I don't necessarily think was the best. But none of it was like bad, but it wasn't good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And apparently, like, I saw her post, like the professional pictures that she did in the outfit. And I guess the wig that she wore was the wig she wanted to wear wasn't ready or something had happened to it. So she wore this wig, which itself is just bad. And yes, while I 1,000,000% agree with the concept of like take an idea and make it your own, I would never in a million years get the reference to the Down Under promo from this outfit.
Absolutely not. Like, there's no reference. It's 100% I just want to know, you know, what does she know about the concept of fashion? Because that just kind of gave me, like, if you, the one where you did your, you know, like, the first design challenge you did in the ball, that's probably, like, you know, okay, if you, if that's the baseline I have to go on to understand your talent of sewing, that tells me you don't know how to sew. However, this one, if you were to give me and show me, and that was the first thing that I saw this season, and she was like, sorry, guys, I can't sew. That's a little bit of a different story, because this gives me the idea that she actually knows how to do something. Mm-hmm. And I know she got a lot of she got a lot of, you know, help from, you know, Volta Trinity, but, like, you know, it was still something that I could look at and go, you know, it's not bad, but what you did for the purpose of the challenge was very bad.
Yeah. Fashion has never been a jinx thing. And, I mean, I know that there is... It's... What you see in your mind and what you're able to create are two different things. So when she goes to designers and says, you know, the Lady Hyde, or who I know did a lot of her looks for this season, or whoever it happens to be, and says, hey, this is what I'm thinking, and goes through a thought process, that designer has an eye for fashion and has a way to take a concept and make it look good. That's not her. That's not her directly. But like you said, you can't win everything. Because could you imagine if Jinx had an eye for fashion and could sew? Do you know what kind of, like, damage
she would... She would walked in the door and the season would have been over. Everyone would have been like, well, she's here. I quit. Bye.
Exactly. I get your points on Jada's. I did like the dress, though, you know, and that's, I think it was a good reinterpreting of the reference. It's still very close to the original. I did like the fact that she incorporated the fabric with the sequins into kind of the little feather boa, like, arm draping.
That was nice.
But I can see your points. I still think I think it was an overall good look for Jada. That wig definitely was some big ass hair, though. That definitely was pageant hair for sure. Yeah. Now, on the flip side, what were some of your favorite looks on this runway?
So I really liked, forgive me, I really liked Trinity's outfit. I'm sorry. Like, I am not a Trinity fan, but when you construct an outfit that looks not perfect, but you can tell that this person is a clearly seasoned seamstress, but on top of that, they took that concept, they really did make it their own. It's just, the dress had power to it, and then she turns around and then the bow is on the back of her neck. Like, there was clearly a story, and there was levels to the train on the bottom. It was a lot of clearly thought out and planned concept to make this dress her own, and I really enjoyed that. And same for Evie, and the reason why is because Evie, I know, has always talked about how she really likes taking inspiration from, like, animation and drawn, you know, looks to kind of create her own things. And she was talking about making this outfit, and she's like, I really want this, like, fully fluffy anime arm. And she did that. She really did. But she, and that's what I really liked, is because she took the RuPaul thing and she made it her own. And she's really good at doing that. And I think that that's something that a lot of these queens have issues doing. And then what I really liked about Shay and her outfit is she did not only execute making that, like, ruffly leopard print part of the dress, but the entire bottom half of the dress was a moment that I did not expect out of her. Because Shay, for me, especially, gives me everything in a way that I don't think I've seen before in certain situations. And it's like she took a pair of tights and then the way that she corseted and kind of shaped her, like, you know, bodice area to kind of cohesively connect the rest of the outfit from the top to the bottom. You know, it really gave me a framed shaped look that was honestly giving me a lot of, like, Miss J from America's Next Top Model. Like, it was giving me so much power in that outfit. And she was walking down, like, kind of like that one feeling you get, and she's like, yeah, I'm on the way to go, you know, divorce my husband, you know, like that kind of look. The sunglasses, she's carrying some bag that cost more than my college education, and just strutting her stuff down the you know, the runway. She had her own moment for that, and I think that that's what I really liked, is that she took that Shea Coulee power and, you know, her oomph.
Sorry.
Her oomph is what I will say. But, like, really, it had that original RuPaul concept to it. It was essentially Shea on a plate with RuPaul serving it to you, and I loved that.
So, I will agree with you on just about all of that. My only thing is, from the waist up, magnificent. The walk, everything. The oomph, totally. I just feel like no matter how good the pant, that tight was, compared to the complexity of the top half, it just felt unfinished.
Oh, I will agree with that as well.
Yeah, it just felt like there needed to be a little something. And it was probably because she was so detailed with the leopard print and making that and turning all of that into the top half. Because that top half was phenomenal.
Yeah.
If she had even figured out a way to incorporate the leopard print into the pant, I think she would have won.
Well, because there would have been a little something right now. There. You know, I'm looking at it right now, and she did attempt to put the leopard print on the bodice, and you can see that. Like, there is some yellow and there is some black there, but it looks like she kind of just used paint. And I think that's
why. Oh, and I love that. Yeah, no, I'm not mad about that, because I see the pink, I see the paint, like, right dead smack, like, right over the center of her stomach, or her abs, I should say, and it's just that solid pink pant. That just feels like,
yeah,
you put on pink pants. Cool.
Yeah. It just, I would have wished that there would have, the print would have been on parts of the pants, is what I was saying.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If that had happened, I think she would have been a shoe-in.
Yeah.
Because honestly, to take that plain fabric and turn it into that.
Yeah.
Would have been, I think, everything. I think she would have been a top phenomenal. Two. Yeah. So, with that, our top two All-Stars of the Week are announced as, surprise, surprise, a repeat from the Ball Challenge, Trinity the Tuck and Jada Essence Hall. I already have a feeling I know the answer to this. Do you agree with the top two for this week?
No, I don't.
Who would you put in place of Jada? Because I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's who you would replace in this top two.
I mean, I will say this. I would either have thrown Shea or Evie in there.
Okay.
And I do think that Shea's outfit and the interpretation of that, you know, leopard print, I really think I would have put Jada in another, in like, you know, switch them out. But also mm-hmm. at the same time, you know, for the idea that what I really did like is that we did have Evie's outfit look pretty good as well. So, like, it would be a close switch for me, but I would honestly say that I would put Shea up there instead of Jada. And it's very close because, you know, Jada did really have that concept to that outfit. It was just, it did not land for me. You know, like, it was good. It just didn't land. I think Shea's landed a lot better. And it was weird to hear the critiques about it because they were a lot more critiquing Shea very highly about this outfit over Jada. The way they spoke to each other, or spoke and critiqued it, it was like, I love this, Jada. Good for you. Shea comes out here. Shea, you made the perfect outfit. This is gorgeous. You had so much power. And I was like, kind of confused in a way.
Yeah, they like to do that from time to time where they just throw you a complete curveball and say, we know that we said you were the best and nobody could ever beat you, but surprise, somebody did.
It's like the entirety of the finale of All Stars 3. They're like,
talk about Shangela, All Stars 3.
I love you. Shangela, you're great. Trixie Mattel. Like that's same thing, getting Shangela. Anyways. Yeah, but I think, you know, that would be my switch. But I do think that, you know, for the purpose of what we are talking about and the challenge winners, you know, I do think that they did make the right choices. But if it were me, I think Shea would be a very close, like, let's pop her up there.
Yeah. I could see that. I could definitely see that. So the top two lip sync to I Want Love by Jessie J, with Trinity the Tuck taking home the win and $10,000, and getting the right to block one of her sisters with the platinum but really gold plunger. And she chooses Ms. Evie Oddly. Do you think this was the right choice?
I mean, Evie's doing a lot of good things, and I will say she is surprising me the more and more we go down this competition. But, you know, knowing what we know about next week's episode already, you know, like, people don't realize, like, you've got to go dirty. You've got to go deep. You know, the first episode, they were really going dirty because they were like, Shea Coulee, here you go. Like, here you go. Have fun. Congratulations. Someone's blocked Jinx once too, but you know, we already have the proof that Jinx is going to pull this out of her ass, and it's going to be phenomenal. Yeah. Like everything she does when it comes to acting, she might flop every once in a millennium, but like, we're talking about somebody who needs their own show.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Like,
and if they knew what was coming up, it would be a whole different story.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know that plunger would have gone to Jinx again.
Again.
And right. I mean, that's nothing. That's not to say that Evie doesn't have the potential to be a top two all-star next week. She did win the, you know, the acting challenge, the movie challenge on her season.
She did.
But when you think about this, like, you know that Jinx is going to be in that top two. Like, no matter what, you know that's what's going to happen.
Like what I said, there are just some people you don't go up against.
Yeah, 100% agree. So with that, let's get to my last question that I ask everybody that joins me on this recap series. Who are your top two all-stars that will be lip-syncing for the crown in episode 12?
It's going to be Jinx, and it's also going to be it's a tie for three. It really is for me, because I know Jinx is one of them. I know Shay is one of them. I can't decide if it's going to be Trinity or Monet.
Okay. I'm a Jinx and Monet fan.
We just went this through this entire episode without even talking about Monet.
Poor Monet.
Poor Monet.
There wasn't a lot.
It wasn't a lot this episode, Monet. I love you, honey, but like, you missed the mark apparently, because I don't remember shit.
I mean, and it wasn't a bad look. She created a great look. I didn't feel like it was a huge like reference to that look. It was less a season 10 Facekini reference, it more felt like what the season 11 Queens had to do when the runway was face Keenies.
Yeah. So now that I'm looking at it again, like, it really looks like she went to Studio 54, hired Vivacious to like throw paint on her in a bodysuit and walked out.
I mean, she made all that, so good on her. Yeah. Like, good on her. She made the hat too, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great look, but like, you know,
It doesn't give me that RuPaul look. I know it references that RuPaul look because it's become such a thing in Drag Race, Drag Race collective mind, where it was more of a Lee Bowery club kid look.
Correct.
It missed a little bit of that homage interpretation point, where maybe if there was the glasses or a visor or something that was across the face, it would have given more of a callback to Rue's look. But I mean, it still was done well.
It was. I mean, I will say though, like, for Monet, I love her because she has everything as a concept. Everything is great. But when it comes to, especially this past season where she walked down the runway in that leather dress that had like the men's abs on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm talking about, and how the bow was going, like, across? That is one of the best dresses I've ever seen walk down this runway. Like, how do you go from that to that? And that's exactly what I'm trying to say, is, like, I feel like Monet could have given us something more.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think my favorite thing, though, about this entire episode is they had the most batshit insane designer as a guest judge, Betsy Johnson. I love that woman.
Yes.
She, I don't know if you know this, but she's, like, I don't know if she's pushing 70, and she still ends every show with a cartwheel.
And if you watch the beginning, she did the split when she walked down the runway.
Yeah.
It's like, damn, bitch.
Like, every single fashion show she does, she ends it with a cartwheel. She will do a cartwheel down, like, the thing. I'm like, good for you.
Like, seriously, because I can't do that shit.
Like, I would, like, goodbye my hamstring, my ass would be deflated, and we would be gone. Like, I'm actually wondering that at this point in my life, if I tried a cartwheel, would, like, my elbow just, like, pop out and I would get a concussion for hitting my head on the concrete? Like, come on.
I mean, that would probably, I don't even want to think about what would happen if I tried.
Exactly. Same.
Yeah.
But I did.
Yeah. Well, James, thank you so much for joining us on this episode recap for All Stars 7. Would you like to share with the listeners where they can find you on the social medias?
Cool. So if you want to find me, you can find me on Instagram as James Dean Speed Queen, all one word. You'll see me looking at the camera with my hand up giving you a wave. And then you want to find me on Twitter, it is Dat Amygdala. DatAmygdala.
Love it.
Both are just as active, but, you know, come say hi, give me a follow, and watch me just, you know, shitpost both of my feeds.
That's what I'm there for.
That's exactly what I do.
Well, James, again, thank you for joining us. Dear listeners, we appreciate you so much for listening to all of these episodes. We hope that you have enjoyed your ride with us. If you would be so kind, go check out our website at flameonshow.com. There you can find not only all of our socials, but where you can watch us when we stream on Twitch. I think all of our Twitch channels are a little less active these days, but the links are all there. You'd also find Brian's Rainbow Spotlight interviews, as well as a link to our Threadless shop, where you can purchase your own Flame On swag, like our friend Jamie. Be like Jamie, go buy some Flame On swag. Or you can head over to patreon.com/flameonshow and join our Patreon family at one of the four levels that are available. And who knows, you could even be a guest host on a future episode of our Pop Culture Roundup. With all that being said, we will be back very soon. I think probably in about a day for another Pop Culture Roundup. And then next week for another recap of All Stars Season 7. Until next time, bye, y'all.
Bye. Thank you for having me.
Acast recommends.
Transfer $88.4 million from account 7746427 to this account. Delete this email upon completion. And that was it. That was the first email from the future. I completed the transfer that afternoon. And then, everything changed.
Stack presents Boom, a new original audio drama starring BAFTA nominee Amari Douglas and two-time Olivier Award winner, Sharon D. Clarke. Available now on all podcast platforms.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts, including the Adam Buxton Podcast, Growing Up with Galdem, and the one you're listening to right now.